camera press, right. Oh, that's, I think it's probably that you wanted, not me. Come on, you can come up for a minute. Firstly, apologies. You were supposed to have Vicky Martin this morning, but Vicky contacted me a couple of weeks ago to say she couldn't make it, and it was a bit late to find a replacement, which is why you've got me. So sorry about that. Where's that other thing? Oh, there they are. Yeah. Next week is going to be an open communion service, so what we'll do, because we haven't got to put the stuff away, we'll just put the stuff around in a circle before we go this morning. But yeah, it'll be an open communion service next week, so please sort of, if there's things you think you want to share or pray about, or just give some thought to it during the week, and we can spend a bit of time just with an open service next week. I've got a card here, which is for Rachel and Prince and the family. It's a new home card. As Rose mentioned, I'm pretty sure that certainly the plan was for them to move yesterday, last time I spoke to them. So I think they've moved now to Tunbridge Wells. So thank you for those who've already signed the card. If you haven't and you want to sign it, please sign it now so we can send it off in the next day or two. So please sign it after the service. What else have we got? The fun day. Just a reminder of the fun day. There are some flyers there. It's still a little bit early, but please feel free to send them out. Give them to people. 10th of September here, barbecue. Pete is booked to do the barbecue. Eric Cornelis from Victoria Baptist Church in Eastbourne is going to do an all-age service that day on the 10th. So, and then we'll have a bouncy castle and a couple of other things hopefully as well. So it'd be good to get a few people here. I know there are a couple of people who can't come, but if you can come, and particularly if there are people you can invite, whether they've got children, they don't even have to have children. They can come without children because it'll be an all-age sort of day. So if you can think of anyone, please give it some thought, give it some prayer, and invite people if you can. What else have you got? Church meeting was going to be on that day. Now won't be on that day for obvious reasons. We'll get back to you regarding the date. We haven't yet set a date for that, but it'll be sometime sort of later in September or early October, I would guess. Prayer breakfast will still be on the 3rd of September. That works now because it's not the fun day. It was prayer breakfast and fun day, but now it's just the prayer breakfast on the 3rd of September. So I'll give you more details about that nearer the time. And the last thing is the barbecue up at the Barber's Green Hut on the afternoon stroke evening of the 28th of August, which is the bank holiday Monday. If you can come to that, can you let me know? Or if you plan to come, let me know in the next few days, so that we know how many to cater for at the barbecue. It is just a barbecue. It's nothing more than that. Really, it's something that Chris particularly wanted to do. Chris the barber was very keen. We went back there to do something. So we'll do it outside the hut that the church first met in. Hopefully the weather will be a bit better than on the evening of our 100th anniversary. But say that's Monday the 28th, which is bank holiday Monday. Pete again is booked to do the barbecue. So what more could you want than a barbecue from Pete? So that's that. You better go down now. You better go back to your mummy. Right. So, I am going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verses 1 to 24. 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 to 24. And then a few verses from Matthew 5 as well, which I'll just put a note in. There's no clock up there today. I've got no idea how long I'm going to waffle on for. It won't be very long, I don't think. 1 Samuel 15, starting at verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. Poor, even the donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the right ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites, and then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and his army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul's gone to Carmel, and there he has set up a monument in his own honor, and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "Lord bless you, I've carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag their king. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder and the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." We'll stop there. And just a few verses from Matthew 5, well-known verses again, 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." There's two readings there, and there's a verse from each that I really want to sort of concentrate on, not concentrate on, but highlight. Firstly, from the first reading, verse 22, Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." And then back in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Going back to the Saul reading from the book of Samuel, Saul looked the part, didn't he? He looked the part and he said the right things. If you remember back when Saul was first, and there's a lot of good things about Saul. When you think back to when he was first anointed, he was very humble. He went and hid because he really didn't want to be king. But he was chosen. He was very tall, a very big man, a very big leader, a man who looked like a leader, I think. And he did a lot of kind things in his early days. I remember there's a bit about where he forgave those who plotted against him when he first became king. And he said, "No, I don't want to punish them. Today's a day of celebration." He did a lot of good things as king. And even here, in this reading where we read, there's a bit about... he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of all Egypt. So he was still doing the right thing in those ways. But what he had lost is his ability over the years to be obedient to God, to be completely obedient to God. God had said to him, as we saw from the reading, where are we? Go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. God had said, destroy everything. Which is a tough concept for us today, God saying that, isn't it? But we're not looking at that particularly today. But that's what God had said. But what Saul did was he destroyed the men and women, killed the men and women apart from the king, and he's destroyed all the rubbishy old animals that were weak and had one leg or something, whatever. But kept the good ones. He kept the good ones. He kept the ones that were sort of like, I don't know, prime meat, I suppose, or whatever. He kept those. Because, of course, that was riches in those days. They didn't have Bitcoin and all those things, but they had sheep and cows, and that was riches. So that was helping them to get rich. He wasn't obedient. And when Samuel came to him, what did he say? He said, oh, where is it? Lost it. Soldiers brought out the bit. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong bit. I've carried out your Lord's instructions. Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. And Samuel, in effect, says to him, oh, no, you didn't, did you? And Saul says, but I've kept them. We're going to sacrifice them. I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag the king. And I kept the sheep and the cattle so we can sacrifice them. But that's when Samuel says, you need to obey, not to sacrifice. Saul was saying, even then, he was saying the right things, wasn't he? He was saying the things that sounded right. But Samuel knew better because he'd heard from God. He knew better. Saul did the outward things. And he probably did the sacrifices, but I would guess he wasn't planning to sacrifice all of the sheep and the cows, probably the sort of first 10% of them or something like that. The rest, his plan was to keep for himself. It also says, of course, that he built himself a... Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honour. So he'd also got carried away with his own importance. So there's all sorts of things going on here. Good things in Saul, but by now, a lot of bad things as well. He wasn't being obedient. He wasn't listening. Whether he thought he knew better than God, whether he thought, well, it's all right, it doesn't really matter that I don't do it, carry it out to the word. I'm sort of saying the right things. I'm doing sort of the right things. Who knows what he thought. But the result of it is, of course, that in the end, Saul, God rejected Saul as king. And he carried on as king for a while, but God's blessing had gone from Saul. In the next chapter, God sends Samuel to anoint David as the next king. And of course, David didn't become king straight away, but that was in effect. And we know the issues that caused between Saul and David, etc., over the next few years, and all the resources and the stuff that Saul wasted on trying to control David and trying to kill David. And that all really stems from Saul's disobedience. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Obedience, obviously, is still just as important today to God as it was then. Now, I don't think God often gives us specific instructions. I don't think, obviously, he doesn't often tell us to destroy complete cities, including the donkeys. He doesn't often give us specific instructions, I don't think. Sometimes he does, without a doubt. People are called to the mission field, or are called to go to certain places in this country or elsewhere or wherever. People are called to certain things at certain times. But generally, I don't think God gives us specific instructions every day on what we are supposed to do. God, I don't think, says to me, right, today you're going to do this. Tomorrow you're going to do this. But what he does do is give us instructions on how to live our lives. There's lots of things in the Bible on how to live our lives. What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? The simple answer to that is he wants you to be obedient. He wants you to be obedient. In the same way as Saul, he wanted Saul to be obedient, he wants you to be obedient. And the most important thing to that, as far as I can see, hello, are you bringing me a sweet? Oh, thank you. Oh, no, I can't have it. Bye. Most important thing, I think, in terms of obedience, is listening to God about how we live out our faith, how we live our lives in the world today. Some people may not agree with me on this, and that's fine. How we live our life, wherever we live, I think is more important than having set prayer times every day. I'm not saying it's not important to have a set prayer time every day or to be in the sense where we're praying continually. Of course that's important. Of course prayer is important. It's more important how we live our life than how much money we give. What does God say here? And again, I'm not saying don't give money. That doesn't mean cancel your direct debits. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But the Lord delights in to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. How we live our lives in obedience to God is more important than all of these specific things. It's more important than going to church. It's more important than going to church. It's more important than going to prayer meetings or other meetings. What I'm not saying, obviously, is therefore we don't need to go to church, or therefore we don't need to pray, or therefore we don't need to give. Of course I'm not saying that. That's all part of it. But how we live our lives is more important. What we can't do is say, well, I'm going to church, so I'm fine. Or I'm giving 10% of my income, so I'm fine. Or I go to all the prayer meetings, or I set aside half an hour every day to pray. So therefore, I'm doing what I need to do. And the rest of the time, I can not take too much notice of God. That isn't what it means to be a Christian. That isn't what it means to be obedient. All of those things are tied in together. How we live our lives, how we show our faith, how we let our light shine before men so that they may see God working through us and be drawn to him, that is the being obedient. And all of those things come into that. We can't do that without praying. We can't do that without reading his word. We are told we need to be giving. We are told we need to be praying. But all of that is tied up with letting our light shine before men. Being here, I've said this before up here, and I really believe it, being here on a Sunday is the easy bit of being a Christian. It's the easy bit. The words we've sung, Jesus' love is very wonderful. We sang, didn't we? How wonderful is God? How amazing is God? Do our lives back up the words that we've just sung? Sometimes I look at the words when we're singing them and thinking, I'm not sure I should be singing that, really, because singing words and living it out are two completely different things. Saul would have sat here and sung out the words and really, really meant them, but would he have lived them out? I'm not sure. There's loads of scriptures on how we should live our life. I say I've read the one, I'll read it again, the Matthew one, the last bit of it. You're the light of the world. You, me, I am the light of the world. Goodness me. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Not that they may see you going to church, not that they may hear you talking about the Lord even, although those things are important, of course they're important, that they may see your good deeds, they may see the way you live your life. And that will give glory to God, because that's what will draw them to God. And I think that's more true today than it's ever been. Our lives as Christians, when people know we're Christians, are totally under scrutiny. Totally under scrutiny as to whether we live out our words. And if we don't live out our words, I'm pretty sure that by and large, probably not completely, but by and large, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter if we're great evangelists. If we don't live it out, if we don't back it up by the way we live our lives, then people would judge us on that. We're told to share our faith and to make disciples. In 1 Peter, what does it say? Again, well known. I should have marked some of these, shouldn't I? 1 Peter comes after James, doesn't it? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Be ready to use the words, but make sure it is backed up, underpinned by the way you live your life. Only ever do it with respect, and make sure that even if people talk against you, as people do, even if people are against what we stand for, they may see our good behavior in Christ, and that will have an effect. That will have an effect. We're told to share our faith. We're told to make disciples. We need to use words, but we need to live it out. We need to live it out. We need to build relationships with people. Build relationships with people. I've been out, years ago, I can remember doing outreach things up outside what is now the shop. I don't think it was our shop at the time, but doing stuff up there. And some people would come up and just, I remember someone saying, oh, it's all right, I'll get a few here, and just giving out tracts. And that was almost seen as evangelism. Or even door knocking. Even door knocking, you know, you knock on the doors, and that was seen as evangelism. And yes, I understand that. But actually, although it's scary, for instance, to knock on doors, it's also easier than building a relationship with people. Because when you spend time building a relationship with people, getting to know people, spending time with them, you have to not adjust your life, you have to live out your faith. You have to live it out. You have to live it out. Even if you get things wrong sometimes, you have to live it out. Very rarely, I won't say never, but very rarely will people come to us now at a church. But people are out there, and people are in the world and in the community where we live. We need to build relationships. We need to build relationships. Building relationships is much more challenging than just coming to church. It's much more challenging. It's much harder than just giving out tracts or knocking on doors even or whatever. How we live our life, where we let our life shine, where we live a life that reflects God needs to be in every part of our life. And it's not that we don't ever get it wrong, but it's that we ask for forgiveness when we get it wrong from God, but also from other people sometimes. We need to admit to them we get it wrong. We need to admit to people when we're building a relationship sometimes, if they know we're Christians, that we don't understand everything. We can't answer all the questions. I look at loads of stuff in the Bible. I think I have no clue what that means. I have no clue. I have no clue, really, why God wanted a whole city destroyed. That sounds so harsh. And trying to justify that away in 21st century Woodendine is tough. And sometimes I think we just don't go there. I think don't go there. We don't understand everything. We don't understand. And even if we say things, we don't get everything right. Even when we live things out, we do think get things wrong. We get angry. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. But we need to set them right. Saul, I guess, had gone on and on so long disobeying God that he'd almost gone beyond that point, and God had got to the stage of saying, I've given you the chances, now I'm going to reject you. We need to live it out with family. When we're at home, that's where we're probably ourselves mostly. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It could be either, couldn't it, sometimes? We need to live out our faith in our family. If we spend our time moaning to our family or about others, when we're in the privacy of our own homes, moaning about the church, whatever, moaning about people, just complaining about things, that's not really living out our faith. When we're with other Christians, we need to live it out. We need to be blessing to each other, be looking to ways we can help each other, support each other. We need to say nice things to each other and about each other. And when we're with everyone else, whether they're Christians or not, we still need to uphold God's standards. I think I can't think of many places where it's wrong to go as a Christian. I can't think of many places where it's wrong to go as a Christian. But of course, it's how you go there, how you behave when you're there. I can't think of many people it's wrong to associate with as a Christian. But it's how you handle yourself. And if your speech and your standards are different when you're with people who aren't Christians than it is to when you're with Christians, or if your speech and your standards are different when you're at home with your family than when you're at church with your Christian friends, then that's an issue, and that's something that we all need to be aware of. We need to be living it out. You will get it wrong. We will get it wrong. We do get it wrong. We get frustrated with each other. We get frustrated with our families. But don't be like Saul. Don't ignore those things. Don't say, well, I am doing what God wants. How can you be obedient? How can you be obedient and let your life shine? How can you be obedient to God? Whatever he's saying to you, and I'm not standing up here saying this is what God's saying to you. That's for each and every person individually to work out, because that can be different for everybody. How can you be obedient to what God is saying to you? How can you let your light shine? I'm going to finish there. But even if everything I've said is rubbish, spend a bit of time. We're going to spend a couple of minutes quiet now. And don't worry if the children are a bit noisy at the back. That's not a problem. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes quiet now. And just ask God. Just try and, if there's one thing maybe, one thing, one little thing, one tiny little thing about that you can do that you need to be doing to be obedient to him, that you can be doing to let your light shine before men even more than it is at the moment. Just spend a couple of minutes quiet now. Let God speak to you. Ask him now, and ask him to speak to you this week about things that you can do. What is he saying to you? What is he saying to you about living obediently for him? What is he saying to you about letting your light shine more before people than it does at the moment, or even more than it does at the moment? Let's spend a couple of minutes quiet now, and then I'll pray.